Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Boom, boom, boom. Open up. It is the Sixers Talk Podcast brought to you by Wilmington University, WilmU Works. Noah Levick and Danny Pommels here coming to you from Rivers Casino right here on Delaware Avenue. Some action going on here. A lot of folks in the parking lot for sure. And we're coming here in the mid or the tail end of the NBA All-Star break. Do you still have Mac McClung fever, Noah?
I think everyone who was exposed has gotten a case of that. Yeah. Real fun time. And
my daughter's like, where'd this guy come from? He just come out of nowhere. I've been at it for a while just because you didn't know their name. But McClung, a great story. I don't know if the fact he was in the dunk contest precipitated the two-way deal, or like what the one hand washes the other type of thing. Like what'd you make of that part of it?
He has been playing well, so yeah. I don't think it was a gimmick. And I do think obviously the Sixers value their two-way spots. And in all honesty, Julian Champagne team loved his character and his personality, but the on-court product wasn't especially impressive. And I think McClung, there's a lot that is impressive about his game, and he's been shooting the three really well. He's at 50% actually in the G League regular season. Don't expect that would be sustainable at an NBA level where the shots are tougher and defenses are equipped with, you know, bigger players. But no, he's been playing some good basketball, and he is not just a dunker, but nothing to be ashamed about to be known for your dunking if you can dunk like that and throw down the 540s and have that incredible creativity. It's remarkable stuff. And yeah, he was legitimately the no-brainer star of All-Star Weekend.
It's so crazy when you think about it, because so much has been made about the All-Star Weekend, the dunk contest, and the game itself didn't quite live up to the hype with the format that they used. But, you know, I thought Kenny Smith was being, you know, throwing a little hyperbole around. He's like, oh, Mac McClung saved the dunk contest. He saved All-Star Weekend. But when I hear my daughter say stuff like that, who's a casual fan, but he gets catapulted into like the pop culture stratosphere, and all of a sudden people are like trying to Google him and find out who he is. And oh, and this quirk and anomaly of the fact that he's only made $102,000 in his professional career, and it makes $100,000 at the slam dunk as a slam dunk contest champion. So it just, hey, his Q rating is up, man. His Q rating is up, and he's, you know, bridging gaps that in people's ears and coming off of the lips of people who might not have said his name or known who he was before. So a big green check mark for him.
Yeah, it was not starting from zero, as you said, was a YouTube phenom, Instagram phenom, you know, any.
Yeah. He was a good blue chip high school athlete.
Indeed, and had the highlights to go with it. I think that hoop mixtape sort of era, you know, Zion Williamson, perhaps number one, but Mac McClung was up there. If you had any awareness of that, you had heard his name, you had seen him dunk. And to his credit, he showed us some new tricks. I think the creativity was impressive. And as I said, his main goal was just make every dunk. And I think that obviously enhanced their performance a great deal. There was no, oh man, you know, just missed that.
Right.
I think he got that out of his system, actually, in the Rising Stars game. He had one very narrow miss, and then he was locked in and stepped up to the moment in the dunk contest itself. But it's a unique situation for sure, because he's yet to even practice with the Sixers. He's yet to play a game with the team. And yet he was by far the team's biggest star from the weekend. I'm sure the search terms, like, people know who Joel Embiid is. Mac McClung, people were actually really curious to learn about the background and how he broke Iverson's single season scoring record as a high schooler in Virginia, and the fact that he only has two NBA appearances, and just a lot of curiosity and a lot of buzz around him for fantastic reasons. So I think George Niang had a good idea, which is just make it mandatory that every year Mac McClung participates in the dunk contest. I think for the time being, no one wouldn't mind seeing that.
All the great vibes there courtside with all the players and the cameras and the phones. It just was very reminiscent of the Vince Carter dunk contest and stuff like that. So an incredible comparison to give Mac McClung. And you mentioned Joel Embiid, not to be outdone, he was the first pick of the NBA All-Star starters from LeBron James, and for obvious reasons, but definitely flattering for hear his name called first. I'm sure he enjoyed that.
Yeah, he definitely had a big smile on his face, and perhaps harkens back a little to the speculation there briefly that LeBron James, you know, might want to join the Sixers, in large part due to Joel Embiid's talent and Ben Simmons' talent and those guys being young, you know, young players at the time. But yeah, Embiid got the nod, and the game itself, I think, was far less dramatic and entertaining than the draft. But there was some good entertainment value in the draft for sure. We had Giannis Antetokounmpo being very prepared seemingly, and yet not making the note that Ja Morant was ineligible to be drafted as a reserve.
One of the young, most electrifying players in the game today. Yes. So bad.
I mean, that description is on point, but starter versus reserve.
He did end up getting him.
And he did, yeah. Right. He got his guy.
That was hilarious.
And he won the game, but I mean, I think no one really seemed to care very much about the game or its result. Probably some bad luck where, relative to last year, it just wasn't close at all. So you don't get the benefits of that Elam ending where the target score motivates guys to maybe try a little bit on defense. But the respect factor is certainly there for Joel Embiid from his peers, and LeBron James is the most esteemed guy right now in the NBA, and he clearly thinks very highly of Joel Embiid, and ended up teaming up with Nikola Jokic, who was LeBron's last pick in the draft, and strolled over.
Another funny moment.
Yes.
Nikola thought he was the last person being selected, but that was Lauri Markkanen, so he just came walking off to LeBron's side. At the time, we didn't know that, so it just looked like he was like, bro, you're definitely not picking him.
You're not picking the two-time MVP dead last in the draft.
Right.
Obviously, the All-Star game is not where Jokic shines.
Which he admitted after the game that this just isn't a game for me. Like, I'm not a Skywalker, alley-oop, flashy type of player.
Right.
He didn't say those. That was my paraphrasing. No, I
definitely agreed with that sentiment. Yeah, there were a couple of Jokic classic passes, little no looks, and the lob to Embiid, where Embiid, gave a little effort to make the cut and Jokic threw it up to him. But this is not where he shines, and he's perfectly okay with that. Embiid, put up a bunch of points, made some threes, but I think that description pretty much anyone who played did those things, and it was not the greatest product. And Jokic's coach, Michael Malone, said it's the worst basketball game he's ever seen. So not a ringing endorsement from the coach of one of these teams, but the All-Star weekend, I think the NBA can at least tell itself it was successful in large part due to Mac McClung and Mac McClung alone. Yeah.
Hey, we're going to pay some bills here. Much more to come here on the Sixers Talk podcast. We will get to this tough schedule the Sixers have coming out of this All-Star break. Plus, Noah was at the Sixers facility today for practice in Camden. But we want to tell you about Wilmington University, ready to build career skills in 2023. Apply to Wilmington University today and get started by March 6th. Learn more and apply at wilmu.edu. Upskill, reskill, or start fresh in 2023 with a degree or certificate from Wilmington University. Wilmu works for you. Apply today to start March 6th. Of course, we are coming to you live from Rivers Casino. We appreciate you tuning in wherever you're watching this on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, blah, 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 blah. But it's time to rush to new rewards at Rivers Casino. Now there's a whole new way for you to earn, redeem, and level up your rewards. Get your new Rush Rewards card and get more out of your game at Rivers Casino Philadelphia. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Yeah, your Sixers, thankfully, all the stars that were there, McClung, Joel, the Sixers contingent, were able to escape unscathed from All-Star Weekend because a couple of guys did get nicked up, most notably LeBron James and Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Bucks, of course, directly above the Sixers in the standings, in the second seed, currently in the Eastern Conference. But a tough schedule coming out of this break for the 76ers, and they're preparing for this tough set that's coming up for them. Memphis Thursday straight out of the gate, Boston, a bunch of other teams, and we'll get to that. But Noah, you were in Camden today. The Sixers were on the court. Were they knocking off some rust?
Most certainly, yes. Okay. It was one of those situations where you could hear a lot of noise in, you know, through the wall between the media room and the court. And Doc Rivers said there was about an hour worth of scrimmaging today, which is not at all the norm. Usually it's mostly skeleton-ish stuff where they're just walking through sets and trying to make small tweaks while prioritizing the health of their players. But this was a case where he felt it was necessary to get back in the swing of things and get guys back in the rhythm of playing with each other. But yeah, the health situation thus far seems to be okay, but that's going to be seriously, seriously tested just given the density of the Sixers schedule, in addition to the opponents being very difficult. But yeah, Giannis Antetokounmpo, got the injury right wrist, before the All-Star game and just kind of gave it the 20 seconds in the game itself. Sounds like that's not going to sideline him long-term in all likelihood, which is a sigh of relief for the Bucks.
Yeah, it seems like just a pain threshold type of thing.
Perhaps, yeah. I mean, it definitely sounds like he's going to miss a bit of time, and maybe the Sixers can take advantage of that and climb up a little in those standings, but definitely major challenges ahead. They have 25 games left, and the league's most difficult remaining schedule in terms of, you know, opponents' winning percentage. But then you just look at all these back-to-backs and all these games on the road, and it's daunting. 17 games to come in the month of March. 12 of those are on the road, and we'll see how they fare through that. But yeah, today Rivers said it wasn't about anything complicated necessarily in terms of X's and O's or, you know, preparing for specific opponents. I think it's just getting adjusted again to basketball as opposed to the beach for some of these guys. Mm-hmm. And now it's time to get back to it.
What about our all-star, Joel Embiid? He was, as we've come to know, a bit questionable to play in the all-star game. He ends up playing. He talked pretty directly and candidly about the fact that he wasn't 100% before the Sixers left for the all-star break. He got out there, didn't seem like he was really dogging it, although all the guys were dogging it to a certain extent. But did Doc Rivers mention anything about Joel? Did you see him on the court? Did he look ginger? What were your thoughts there?
Yeah, Doc Rivers said he had no problems with Embiid choosing to play, and that Embiid had told him he was feeling a bit better, and that Rivers' message was just, if you feel good, go for it. If not, let them know, you know, ASAP. And evidently Embiid felt good enough to give it the green light for the All-Star game. But yeah, most of the guys, were off the court post-practice when the media is let in. So nothing huge to extract there, at least on the initial injury report. We do not even have a questionable Joel Embiid. So we'll see if that remains the case. Certainly subject to change, but that would be a positive change for the Sixers with Embiid game after game after game questionable with left foot soreness pre-All-Star break, and perhaps the first game after the All-Star break, there's no need to list them. That would be very positive for this, you know, matchup against the Grizzlies that they've got coming up. So yeah, a lot of tests to come on the road, but the first three are at home, and the Sixers want to, you know, maximize that opportunity to win in Philly.
Well, you keep alluding to it, so let's spell it out. Our producer, Ben Berry, lining this all up for us so succinctly. So the March schedule, Memphis, Boston, Miami, 12 of their next 15 games are on the road, including four back-to-backs. Ben pointed out that the 3 seed for the Sixers means Milwaukee in the second round. A 4 seed means Boston in the second round. Let's just get to the second half schedule first. You mentioned the density of it, 12 of their next 15 on the road, and just Memphis, Boston, Miami, end of the month games. They're trying to like continue to maintain where they are and take advantage of the opportunities to make up some room in the standings. Are you feeling like this is a Sixers team that is built for this tough stretch that's coming up, considering the way they ended the quasi pseudo first half of the season? Obviously we're like almost to the playoffs now, but the All-Star break kind of is the quasi pseudo break there. So do you feel like this is a Sixers team equipped for this tough schedule, or are we about to find out some things that maybe we didn't know about this squad?
Well, I think probably finding some things we didn't know will be true regardless. I agree with the, it's a cliched thing to say, but these will be tests, and the Sixers will be challenged to, you know, come up with solutions when X or Y lineup isn't working, or when a team figures out an effective way to double team Embiid or counter the Harden Embiid pick and roll. I think they are decently equipped just in terms of depth and flexibility. And they flashed that earlier this year where James Harden and Tyrese Maxey both missed significant time and the team coped well in those situations. And even when Joel Embiid's missed games, they are 8-4. But some guys who have been on the fringe of the rotation may very well get real minutes here in the near future. Doc Rivers teased that before the break. And I think just the reality is, given the volume of games and the back-to-backs, they won't want to push P.J. Tucker if he's not feeling 100%, or D'Anthony Melton. And Rivers was actually relatively candid today about Melton. He said he still has this back issue that's been there for the large majority of the season, and he's figured out how to manage it a little bit better, but they're still trying to just kind of identify the right way to play him, because, you know, 14 minutes for him in a game, which has happened here and there recently, it's beneficial in terms of his health, but in terms of rhythm and the on-court feel with his teammates, it's not so great. So I think that's a storyline to watch moving forward. And in all these games, of course, the starting lineup will remain a hot topic, but who closes and who perhaps makes a case for rotation minutes when they get those little opportunities. Hard to imagine the Sixers escape this stretch without any injuries. They had some bad fortune earlier in the year, and then in the stretch, you know, before the break, things were actually going quite well. They will do their best to avoid stars missing games, but they will also, I think, be prudent. And when there are little nicks that pop up over the month of March, the right route will probably be sitting someone, and then it's next man up. So maybe that's Daniel House Jr. Maybe that means, you know, a Paul Reed start too. I think learning about the team, a lot of that will just happen naturally because so many games, therefore a lot of guys on your team who actually need to make valuable contributions in all likelihood.
I can feel the intensity ramping up now, Noah. So much has been made about the Sixers and what they can or can't do in the postseason, so much so that you kind of disregard some of the regular season. So many people are projecting towards the postseason and how things will play out and which lineups will work best. Will the PJ Tucker acquisition play off at that point? And how will these new pieces fit in behind Joel Embiid to make up for those non-Embiid minutes? So I feel all that ratcheting up because, you know, you look at this stretch of Grizzlies, Celtics, Heat, Mavericks, Bucks, and I can see fans using those games as a measuring stick of who the Sixers are, what they're about, how far they can go. How do fans, you know, it's very relative here in Philadelphia because fans are so passionate, but there's got to be a way for them to enjoy the games and realize that all of the interactions that they have and the results don't necessarily project to how they're going to perform in the playoffs and how good they are and who they're going to beat and who they won't. So how should fans step into this fray of games that they're going through?
I think not a bad way to look at it would just be, let's see how they do in the month of March. So if there's a disappointing loss or two at home in this stretch, it is what it is.
Keep it in perspective.
But yeah, let's see what happens in March. And I think for me, just
looking at these games, March is heavy.
It's I think late in the month, there's one stretch that's arguably tougher than the one you just cited, where it's
Warriors,
Suns, Nuggets, and the Mavericks. Mavs again. Yeah, I mean
Raptors, Bucks,
Celtics. just some brutal scheduling there, and obviously it's a counter to the Sixers having a favorable schedule to this point. But yeah, let's see how they do this month, and let's see specifically if the players who shined in shorthanded situations earlier this year can keep that up. So, you know, let's say Shake Milton gets a start here or there. If, you know, Harden sits a game, can he be as impressive in the pick and roll and as decisive with his playmaking? Again, let's say Paul Reed, you know, is the guy night after night after night. Can he show the consistency that the Sixers are seeking from the backup center spot? Can Tucker do some of the encouraging stuff defensively? Can he remain willing to fire the open catch and shoot threes? So all those little questions cumulatively will be worth examining when March is over. But yeah, I think the players and the coaches always stress game to game and not looking too far ahead. I think that's honestly valid for fans too. You know, take each game for what it's worth, but really in terms of big picture evaluation, let's do that again when March is over. That'll be fun.
Beware the Ides of March. We're all my Shakespeare fans out there. Beware the Ides of March don't look so, it's like the beginning of March and the end of March. They really look the most difficult, but, I just had to work that in.
No, enjoy it.
Yeah. All right. Good. Let's pay some bills really quick, because we are very appreciative of our sponsors, and most specifically, if you are injured for over 70 years, Lundy Law has been the number one personal injury law firm in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. Their services are exemplary. Their results are exceptional. Call 1-800-LUNDY-LAW to get the money you deserve. Opioid addiction is a national public health crisis. The Someone You Know podcast from the Independence Blue Cross Foundation offers inspiring stories that challenge stigma, offer hope, and humanizes the disease of addiction. Download the new season 3 of Someone You Know on all major podcast platforms. So the players get some time off to rest and recuperate. Noah, did you take some time to recharge your battery for this stretch run?
Tried my best, yeah.
Still got the Super Bowl hangover?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I think it's all subjective, you know.
Barry laughing in the distance is hilarious.
But. It's all subjective what is necessary to recharge, but definitely less intensity. And as I said, I think that was welcome for anyone associated with the NBA. And it's, as you said, not a first in the second half of the season. It's a long slog near the end.
Noah just doesn't plug into a wall, folks. He just doesn't just get juice from the socket. He has to
try my best. Yeah, take a deep breath, you know, watch a movie or two. But
movies, I pulled up the Ant-Man. I'm a little Marvel action for me. It was okay. I'll say that. But reach out to me directly on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or what have you. I'll give you my insider's perspective. But it was cool going to the theaters, you know, the reclining seats. You know, what's not to like, you know?
It sounds awesome. Yeah. I will consider.
Just meditate on your roof. Just get on your roof.
Something like that. Yeah.
Cross the legs.
Figuratively. But, you know. Shake Milton actually was talking today just about how the mental refresh is, arguably more valuable than the physical side of it, and totally understand. Obviously, you know, those of us covering the team are not nearly as challenged physically, compared to the players. We're just, reaching out to try to get good sounds or what have you. But I appreciate the opportunity to step away, to as much as possible. And now we have stepped back in and diving in with all that March has to offer.
Well, it will be exciting for sure. I am going to be at the game tomorrow, and my coworker, friend, and friend of the podcast, Sixers pre and post game host Amy Fadul, will also be at the game checking it out. I think I'm going to drag Ben Berry to the game. So, hey, if you see us, if you want to say hi, you know, you see us, give us a shout. Noah Levick will be working. Please don't bother him.
No, I was,
What?
I can be bothered. You know, would not be any trouble to
There you go.
Be said hi to. Yeah, I can't promise, you know, the most total engagement in a conversation, you know, if the game's unfolding, but no, happy to say hi to anyone who might wish.
Maybe Noah can give you all the secrets on growing the luxurious beard. You guys have no idea. He can really get it out there. But hey, we appreciate you listening to the Sixers Talk podcast, brought to you by Wilmington University. WilmU Works. For Noah Levick and Ben Berry, I'm Danny Pommels. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.